This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. And I'm just going to jump right in because right now, today, June 30, 2026, there is a massive paradigm shift happening.
Yeah, a really fundamental one.
Right, like the AI arms race is no longer just about, you know, who has the smartest model on some abstract test benchmark. It has turned into this gritty, real-world battle over brute force infrastructure, hidden costs, and maybe most importantly, user trust.
Absolutely. The industry is maturing.
Yeah. And our mission today is to look at three massive global developments that illustrate this. We've got South Korea betting literally multiples of its national budget on physical AI hardware. We have OpenAI getting caught secretly deploying unannounced models. And we've got Chinese AI models quietly dominating global usage.
And these might seem like separate global events, but they really all point to one single truth. We are officially moving from the research excitement phase of artificial intelligence into ruthless commercial reality.
Exactly. It's not a magic show anymore.
No, not at all. It's, you know, it's a paradigm shift from brute intelligence to brute infrastructure.
Well, and you see that infrastructure push most clearly in South Korea right now. The scale is just staggering.
It really is.
So just yesterday, June 29, the Blue House, which is the South Korean executive office, they made this massive announcement. They're calling it the Korea Great Leap Forward Three Mega Projects Public Report.
Right, the mega project.
And to give you some context on the numbers, market analysts beforehand were estimating, I don't know, maybe 400 to 500 trillion won in tech investments.
Which is already a huge number.
Right. But then Samsung and SK walk onto the stage and they formally commit a combined 2,500 trillion won.
Yeah.
I mean, they quintupled the market expectation overnight.
Well, and to really understand the gravity of that number, you have to look at where the money is actually going. It's not going into software research or algorithm tweaking.
No, it's physical.
Exactly. It's pouring into concrete, steel, power grids. SK alone is putting 1,100 trillion won into domestic semiconductor expansion and another 1,000 trillion specifically for AI data centers.
Okay, let's unpack this because SK is planning this 15 gigawatt data center, which they're building in phases, starting with 5 gigawatts. But 15 gigawatts, that sounds kind of abstract until you break it down.
It does, yeah.
A single gigawatt is roughly the maximum output of a large-scale nuclear power plant. So they are dedicating the equivalent of 15 nuclear reactors just to power and cool server racks.
It's wild. Because AI is incredibly power hungry. You know, traditional data centers, they just store and retrieve information. AI data centers are more like massive factories doing trillions of calculations. They run so hot that you need industrial scale water and power just to cool them.
You definitely can't just build these in a suburban office park.
Exactly. And Samsung is doing the same thing, but they're spreading it nationwide. Memory chips, physical AI, and they're turning the city of Gumi into this massive robotics hub. Our sources are actually comparing this to the Stargate infrastructure project in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an industrialization of tech that we haven't seen in a long time.
But I'm looking at this and thinking, they're building the world's most massive multi-lane superhighway system before they even know how many cars are going to drive on it.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, is this just panic spending to keep up with the U.S., or is there an actual guaranteed payoff here?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, our sources highlight some really interesting commentary from legal and economic analyst Kim Kung-jin. He points out that securing the land and the power, that's actually the easy part.
Right.
The real test is what fills those data centers. If there's no real-world data and no practical use cases paying for that server time, these multi-trillion won projects just become empty warehouses.
Empty, heavily air-conditioned warehouses.
Exactly.
So filling those data centers means you need developers who are actively willing to pay for top-tier frontier models. But developers are getting kind of spooked right now, aren't they?
They are, yeah, because the creators of those frontier models are currently playing pretty fast and loose with user trust.
Which brings us to the OpenAI situation. This is a crazy story. So on June 26, OpenAI announces the GPT 5.6 family.
Right.
And the official line was that this new model, which has three tiers, Sol, Terra, and Luna, would only be available to about 20 government-vetted organizations. Like a highly controlled preview.
That was the public narrative, yeah.
But before they even announced it, developers had already discovered that GPT 5.6 was running quietly for some Codex users.
Which is huge. If you're a developer using the Codex API OpenAI's coding assistant, you're essentially plugging your app directly into their AI brain. You pay for a specific model, you expect a specific response.
Right.
But these developers started noticing their automated code generation acting differently, so they did some detective work.
Yeah, and what they found in the developer logs was fascinating. They spotted this hidden system prompt, which is like invisible instructions for the AI, and it had a specific variable labeled juice.
A very weird breadcrumb to leave behind.
Totally. But the real smoking gun was the context window, because developers realized their default context window had suddenly jumped to 353,000 tokens.
And for the listener, let's just define tokens really quickly. They're the fundamental currency here. A token is roughly a syllable or a chunk of a word. So 353,000 tokens means the AI can hold about a 1,000-page book in its working memory all at once.
Right, which completely proved they weren't on the old model anymore. OpenAI had quietly upgraded paying users to the unannounced GPT-5.6 without telling them.
And the leaked pricing tiers confirm this. They revealed that the Sol tier charges $5 per million input tokens and $30 for the output. Terra is $2.50 in, $15 out, and Luna is $1 in, $6 out.
So on the surface, it's like, okay, you're getting a secret upgrade to a more powerful model. What's the problem? But it's kind of like, imagine ordering your usual morning coffee.
Okay.
You know exactly how it hits your system, you know, your routine. And then one day, the barista secretly swaps it for a quadruple shot experimental energy drink.
Right. Sure, it's stronger. But what if you're sensitive to caffeine? Or what if you just wanted what you actually paid for? It derails your whole day.
That is exactly what happens with software pipelines. A drift in reasoning breaks downstream systems. If the AI suddenly formats data differently because it thinks it's being smarter, your entire automated pipeline crashes.
Yeah.
But Lawyer Kim points out this goes way beyond annoyed engineers. This is a consumer protection nightmare.
How so?
Well, if a service's core specifications change without notice, that collides directly with consumer protection standards. That's a big reason why 42 U.S. state attorneys general are already scrutinizing OpenAI.
Wow, 42.
Yeah. And Kim's warning to listeners is stark. If you use API workflows like for automated contract review, you must legally lock the model versions into your vendor contracts. You need a legally binding change notification clause, or you are holding the liability if a dispute happens.
Right, because you can't go to a judge and say, well, the AI secretly swapped its brain overnight.
Exactly. You are responsible for your tools. But why would OpenAI do a secret rollout in the first place?
It comes down to regulatory bottlenecks. To officially expand, these models have to pass government pre-evaluations. This was mandated by a June 2 Trump executive order, which requires federal oversight and testing before frontier models can be widely deployed.
So it's just a factual regulatory hurdle they're stuck behind.
Right. They can't just push a button and launch globally. They have to wait.
Okay, so if the premier U.S. models are bogged down by secret rollouts, high costs, and regulatory red tape, where are developers actually going to run their massive daily workloads?
They are voting with their wallets, and the data shows they are looking east.
Which is just wild to me. We're so used to hearing about U.S. models crushing performance benchmark tests. How did China quietly take over the actual day-to-day usage metrics without anyone noticing?
Well, it's been happening steadily. For 9 consecutive weeks, Chinese AI models have ranked first in global call volume.
9 weeks?
Yeah. If you look at the tracking data from June 22 to June 28, Chinese models hit 20.39 trillion tokens. That's up 8.4% week over week. Meanwhile, U.S. models dropped down to 4.25 trillion tokens.
And down to 4.25 trillion?
Yes, which is a 26.22% drop.
That is a massive hemorrhage.
It is. You can see it really clearly on OpenRouter. That's an API broker where developers can choose from hundreds of different models. A year ago, U.S. token request share on there was 72%. Today, it's just 33%.
That's less than half of what they have.
Exactly. Developers are swarming to models like Zippo GLM 5.2 calls for that surged 66%, while Claude Sonnet 4.6, which was a huge favorite, actually fell out of the rankings for the first time in 4 months.
And ByteDance has their Dubao Seed 2.1 model out now.
Right.
And Alibaba's Tongi is offering a 1 million token context window just for coding. It's incredibly specialized.
And that specialization is the key. The 2026 AI Economy Statuses report by Exponential View covers this. They say the industry is shifting from brute performance to pure efficiency.
Right, because if you're doing a basic task, you don't need a super genius model.
Exactly. If you're doing basic code formatting or summarizing internal emails, paying $30 per million dollar tokens for a U.S. frontier model is just overkill. Developers want cheaper open source models like DeepSeek to cut costs.
But, I mean, there has to be a catch.
There is. It's a double-edged sword. While cheap models save you money, you lose control over where your data flows. Right? So cost reduction is now locked in a direct battle with data sovereignty. You route your company's proprietary code through a foreign API to save a few bucks. You don't know how that data is being retained or analyzed.
Wow. Okay, so before we wrap this up, if you are listening to this and you're actively using these tools, there is a practical takeaway from the sources today. Today's AI application tip.
Yes, this is really important.
If you are using Codex, you need to check what model you're actually on. Open your CLI, your command line interface, and use the status command. Just literally slash status.
Right. And if the system returns a base context window of 353,000 tokens, you are likely on GPT 5.6.
And if you see that, you need to monitor your response consistency immediately. Log your versions to protect your work and your liability.
Absolutely.
Because, summarizing all of this, the AI landscape is clearly no longer just about who writes the smartest code. The real moats now are infrastructure experience, user trust, and real-world data.
And I think that leaves us with a really provocative final thought for the listener to mull over.
Sure.
If developers care more about cheap, efficient API calls than using the absolute bleeding-edge frontier models, and building the infrastructure for these models costs trillions of dollars, who actually holds the power in the future of AI?
That's the million-dollar question, or trillion-one question.
Exactly. Is it the companies inventing the smartest brains, or the ones who own the cheapest, most trusted warehouses holding them?
Unbelievable shift. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information and the tools around you, and we will see you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.